The TV adaptation of Interview with the Vampire debuts tomorrow night on AMC. The Anne Rice series of books that came out in 1978 was followed up by the 1994 movie starring Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise and will now hit the small screen for lovers of all that vampire lore. For more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Stanley Stepanek, assistant professor of Slavic languages and literature. He teaches the super popular class called Dracula at the University of Virginia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, thanks. So, Interview with the Vampire. Boy, when the lovers of the Anne Rice novel, some of them loved the movie, some of them hated it. So here comes this TV series. So what do we know about it? Will it stay closer to the movie or to the Anne Rice books?
Well, I know it has taken a number. It's made a number of changes to the original plot, and this is something that's been in the works now for a very long time. I can't even remember when Anne Rice first publicly discussed possibly making a series out of this. It had been going back and forth for a while. I think Hulu was supposed to pick it up at one point, and I heard rumors it was going to be one season per book. You know, it's like 13 books. So this has been a long time coming here. But there are some things that they've definitely changed, because the original 1976 novel takes place in terms of Louis's past, and it takes place in the 18th century and then 19th century into 20th, whereas this one really is jumping primarily into the 1920s for its background to sort of connect it better, I think, to the modern day, you know, roaring 20s with the current era. But also some of the racial identity, of course, of the characters has changed as well. But other than that, based on what I've seen, it seems like it's following the original plot pretty closely. Of course, I won't be able to tell for sure until I've seen it in detail. A friend of mine did got an early screening of it before he did an article for New York Times, and I asked him how he got it, because I want to check it out myself, but we're going to have to wait till tomorrow, I guess.
All right. You teach this class called Dracula, but that really seems mm-hmm. like the hook to get people into. It's really a folklore class, it seems, or sociology or anthropology. What is it about us that we love these vampire-themed books and movies and TV series? What do we learn?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something I get asked quite a bit, actually. Well, this is kind of almost like a brief summary of what my course is about. Essentially, yes, so the class is called Dracula, and like you said, it's basically a hook, you know, where everyone knows the name Dracula, so they want to learn what is it about, the novel. So essentially what the course is about is how over time what was essentially a minor demon-type character in Slavic folklore and mythology over time has become basically into the modern day a symbol of the human race itself. So basically the vampire has turned into a symbol that really mirrors human experience. And because of that, since it sort of really shares our desires and our way of thinking, is that the vampire can really reflect anything that's going on in society at the time, which makes it very adaptable. I mean, anytime there's changes in politics and society in the way that we view something like race or religion or anything like that, anything that deals with human experience, the vampire really has become an image of that. So that's what I would say is probably the primary reason why people are still so attached to it, because really it's almost like a human ideal. You know, it has things that we wish we had, like ultimate beauty sometimes, or strength, or intelligence, and the ability to never die, you know, well, you know, largely speaking. So I would say that's probably why it's such a popular image even today, and doesn't really seem to want to die.
And then I guess depending on which camp you're in, some people like the really scary, horrible looking vampires, and some like the twinkling Edward from Twilight vampires.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're ever going to get tired of that. So you're planning to watch, and then we'll see how this shakes out. I think the showrunner from the series says he's expecting to catch a lot of heat at Comic-Con when he gets there, and people will, you know, they get attached to the written word, and then they, you know, either like it or don't like it when it's translated to the screen.
Of course, yeah. There's always someone who wants to know the original thing, what they think it's supposed to be, and forgetting that these are all works of fiction, really, and someone can interpret it however they want.
Or are they? And before I let you leave, who is your favorite Dracula or vampire?
Oh, geez, you know, This is a question I get asked all the time, and I always think, boy, I got to get a better answer to this. Honestly, I don't even really know which one to say I think is my favorite. I've always really enjoyed the anime series called Helsing, which some listeners might know of because the presentation of the Dracula character is very interesting to me, but that's always the first one that comes in my head. But my favorite, I don't know. It's tough.
All right.
Always some new thing coming out.
You love all your children. Well, Professor, thank you so much. Stanley Stepanek, Assistant Professor of Slavic Languages and Literature, University of Virginia, teaches the class called Dracula.